watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 9:08 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I am Drew Croson, at SonicCrow2 on Twitter, at SonicCrow on Venmo. I'm trying to buy a new bike, you guys. So, at SonicCrow on Venmo is a big deal.
Put a new song out.
You know, what am I going to think about? There are no sports, Ryan. To one side of me is the rumor monger via the internet, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for slanderous rumors he has talked to us about in the past.
The S is for smoky. Spent all day over a smoker box.
Oh, that's a good day.
Yeah. No, I wasn't making food. I was just testing stuff.
Yeah, work, you know.
You know.
The other side of me giving you full Fort Payne ASMR. Now, when it comes to Envy, y'all is green. Jealous of the rhyme and the rhyme routine. Another dimension, new galaxy, intergalactic, planetary, AU chief.
You're trying to tell me? I messed that up.
Was that?
No.
Excuse me?
Okay, go again.
Nope, I'm good.
The Beastie Boys.
Yep.
Always a favorite.
Yep.
Chief, what happens first? A college football game or 311 announces they're going to go on tour again?
Oh, 311 announces they're going to go on tour again, sure.
Oh, man.
I had a...
Based on the number of times that you've seen them, I just assume they are perpetually on tour.
It's just they tour every...
A 20-year-old tour that doesn't end.
Like the Dead.
They tour all the time. The last 10 years or so, a lot of them have had kids and stuff, so they try to stay around California a little more, but yeah, they still tour a lot in the summer. I bet they tour 130 nights a year or more.
Jeez.
But
what if UPC said they were going to do a 311 concert?
Right. They did do that one
they did.
Time. And stupidly, it was scheduled for outdoors in March.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which March in Auburn is just a terrible weather time. Generally.
It's a crapshoot.
With no other backup plans, they had planned something else for inside the Coliseum. So I missed it. They didn't have it. They canceled it. And they still had to pay 311 their money.
I was there for that. I was going to go to that 311 show.
I was the second person in line. And they canceled it. And then it never did anything. Still mad about it. That was in 2006, so 14 years ago.
When did Akon play?
Oh, I don't know.
Because Akon came like very soon thereafter, maybe the next year. Akon and Soulja Boy.
So that has to be like 2007 or so.
You got to realize Soulja Boy played a show at Auburn prior to Georgia using that song and ruining it for Auburn fans.
You mean Soulja Boy? Soulja
Boy? Yeah. No, like, remember Georgia danced to the song in the 07 Georgia game? Soulja Boy opened for Akon.
Okay, I got
it. And at the time, he only had two songs. So he literally...
I see a YouTube video of Akon at Auburn University, July 28th, 2008.
Not a terrible show. The Soulja Boy show was terrible because he only had, like, two songs, and he literally plugged an iPod in, played his two songs, and then... Like, just, like, karaoke almost after that. Like, rap to other people's songs. Mm. It's the worst concert I've ever seen. Soulja Boy at Auburn. Akon was not bad. He did a magic trick at one point in the show where he, like, kind of disappeared off the stage. And then, like, a spotlight shone across the Coliseum and he came down the middle. And I was like, wait, whoa.
And then he went straight to smack that, didn't he?
Where did he come from? It's just like David Blaine style stuff. I don't think people made enough big of a deal about that Akon was magic. Yeah. Man, this is what you came for this. We took a week off for this podcast to prepare this Akon anecdote for you guys. Yeah. Convict music.
Oh my God.
We, probably the best West African R&B singer of the 2000s. I can't imagine a better one.
We're looking it up now.
Is he Ghanaian? Is that right?
What?
Akon. I think he's from Ghana.
I have no idea. I'm not an Akon connoisseur. The only Akon I know is I Just Had Sex, the Lonely Island song. So
Crow, you remember that bit in Parks and Rec where they're talking to Tom, and they're like, they're assuming he's from somewhere, not in the United States, but he's actually from South Carolina.
He's from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Akon's from St. Louis.
Akon is a Senegalese American singer.
But he's born in St. Louis.
Yeah. But the first line of his Wikipedia is, Akon is a Senegalese American singer.
That's because that's how we do things here in America. We hyphenate all of our things instead of just calling ourselves Americans like the rest of the world would do.
He spent a significant part of his childhood in Senegal, which he describes as his hometown.
Oh.
Was the first line of his early life section of his Wikipedia.
That seems like something you would do if you're trying to spice up your backstory a little bit.
He lived in Senegal for a while.
Wonder if he knew Ghana Gay.
He split time
in Jersey.
He split time between Newark, New Jersey, and Senegal.
Yeah. That's like a kid. That's like when a kid has like family in New York that he visits a couple of times a year, maybe, and then claims he's from New York City. Sounds a little bit like that.
Who are you talking about there, Chief?
I'm just in general. People usually try to big up their backstories a little bit. Like all the people from the county, in DeKalb County, that say they're from Fort Payne, but they're not actually from Fort Payne.
He is from West Africa, because Senegal is West African, so I was right about being West African.
His heritage, his familial heritage. Give me props. Him and Idrissa Ghana Guy.
Speaking of Africa, not to use Africa like people do, like it's all Africa. Africa is all the same. But speaking of Africa, let me recommend the documentary on Amazon Prime called King Leopold's Ghost.
Mm.
That is fantastic.
Okay. I had a feeling that's going to be a depressing documentary.
Super depressing. The book is better, obviously. It's a documentary about how miserably awful Belgium's colonial time in Congo was, King Leopold especially.
This little tiny fake country of Belgium.
To this day, it talks about how to this day Africa is suffering because of the just deplorable nonsense that Belgium did in the late half of the 1800s and early half of the
1900s. Countries you just wouldn't think that cause probably the most trouble for the African continent. Belgium and the Netherlands.
And Portugal. What's funny about this documentary is at one point it talks about how the British ambassadors were sending these charges against Belgium. Like, hey, look, you guys got to quit. This is horrible. And I'm thinking, in the early 1900s, if the Brits are telling you what you're doing is bad in terms of colonialism, it's got to be pretty bad. Like, it's got to be rank if the British Empire is condemning it in the early half of the 20th century. Because they weren't known for being, like, the kinder, gentler colonial power.
Mm-hmm.
But compared to what Belgium was committing in the Congo, they really were. Anyway, that's what you come to this podcast for. Is hot takes on Belgian colonial mishaps. Ryan, what have we got today? We got a little bit of Auburn news in that Malik Miller, my favorite H-back on the team, has decided to hang up the cleats.
No more Malik Miller's wheel routes.
Mr. Third Down himself, always open somehow, perpetually open,
perpetually gaining 30 yards and moving at 2 miles an hour.
The most inexplicable big gains in the history of Auburn football were Malik Miller's.
Was it last summer, or was it like practice before a game where the couple of different guys were talking about, man, he just keeps breaking big plays.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows how he's doing this?
I think there was maybe from a scrimmage or something last year, they're talking about, yeah, he's breaking a tackle 20 yards upfield. How did he get 20 yards upfield?
All the way up.
We'll miss him. I mean, he's one of these guys that's literally been here forever. This would have been his fifth season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. You know, he's a guy, he's coming from injuries, and he's not going to start even if we have a football season. And at this point, like, we're not having a football season in the fall, so he's already got his degree. Go make some money doing something else.
You don't know. We might have a football season in the fall. I'm convinced that we're going to try.
Sure.
And maybe play two games and then it's canceled. Or two games and then it's like, all right, let's pick this back up in March.
I think we're doing it in the spring. I think that's what they're going to try to do.
I mean, that would be hilarious in that it would require Michigan to play football games in February. Or we start in March and we're playing football games in like, but late summer. Like we're having like a June college football playoff. So that stinks.
That would be, well, look, I think the teams in the South have a complete advantage if we were to play in the spring.
Certainly.
Sure.
We're used to the heat. It's warmer here than up north during that time anyway, the spring part. So it's I think we probably have a huge advantage. Not that we don't already have an advantage. I mean, come on. When's the last time a team above the Mason-Dixon line won a
Ohio State.
Yeah, which would have been 10 years ago?
14?
Oh, yeah.
No, I remember they had the Zeke year.
Zeke. That's right. Zeke, baby.
That's right.
All right. Over, under 5.5 career touchdowns for Malik Miller.
Over.
Push.
5.5.
He had exactly it's five over.
He had six total, five on the ground, one boom. Receiving touchdown in the Iron Bowl. Forget about that one.
Wow.
You forget about that one. I don't.
Let's see.
Who could forget his 2018 Iron Bowl touchdown in that game? In a otherwise forgettable game.
Had two touchdowns against Ole Miss in 2018.
Indeed. That's crazy to think that he had two touchdowns in one game and only had
two touchdowns. Yeah, he was just a true vulture in that game. He had two touchdowns, six carries for 11 yards.
All I do is score touchdowns. That's what he would say, like the Chris Carter thing.
That is all Chris Carter did.
All I do is catch touchdowns.
Touchdown machine.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about our question we asked on Twitter. Now, we also asked it in Slack. I'm trying to do a little bit of editorialism in our Slack. I'm trying to come up with cool ideas for the website.
For a nerd to write about?
For a nerd to write about? Because he's the only one that writes anything. Content out. I keep thinking I'm going to write an article, and I never do. Maybe this is the week that I'm going to write about why people should watch cyclocross. But I asked everyone, what are the 10 best off-season or summer rumors? Because we're maybe living in the forever summer of college football. So what is the best summer rumor or whatever? And I think we got some good ones in the Slack. And we got some pretty decent ones on the Twitters. So, Ryan, let's start with that. What do we got? What are the top 10 or best? We're not going to do top 10. We have a lot more than 10. What are the best off-season or summer rumors?
I think the biggest one, at least in my memory, has got to be the Jeremy Johnson hype train. He's going to win the Heisman. Auburn's going to win the national championship. Get the best offense you've ever seen. And we saw it for a half. He looked pretty good for the first half against Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that offense was supposed to have, you know, Jeremy Johnson, and, you know, Duke Williams was going to come back and have a big year, and Javon Robinson was going to come in from JUCO and tear it up. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that whole summer, I remember asking Van Allen Plexico on Twitter, like, how likely is it that he sets Auburn's all-time passing record? Now, part of that is that Auburn's all-time passing record is terrible. But it was like, you looked at the numbers, and it was with the couple of games he'd already played, it wasn't that impossible. I mean, if he had two good seasons with the hype that we thought he was going to get to, he would have been the best quarterback throwing the ball all the time for Auburn. And didn't work out that way.
Right.
Yeah, I think you would have been hard pressed to find an Auburn fan that was not excited about Jeremy Johnson before that season. Man,
I remember in the 2014 LSU game, which I contend is one of the greatest games Gus Malzahn ever called. In the middle of that game, I was at that game, and my brother and I were like, man, imagine what this offense is going to look like next year with a quarterback who can pass. Like, we were in the middle of what may have been the peak of Auburn offensive performance, which is the 2014 LSU game. And we were convinced it was only going to get better because of Jeremy Johnson.
Yep. And boy.
ESPN had him listed as a Heisman dark horse.
Yeah.
Was he a dark horse even in 2015?
I think he was just straight up.
He was a contender. I mean, he
watched.
He was the August Heisman, I think. Wasn't
I want to say he was a Herbie Award winner or some nonsense.
Hmm.
In terms of meaningless awards that mean the same as the other awards.
Well, that was the crazy thing, is we saw him be awesome. It's not like we had never seen him be on the field before. I mean, he played in 11 games in 13 and 14, had 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
Almost 1,000 yards on, what, 60 attempts? No, 80 attempts. I mean, he was good. He did it against Arkansas. Even as a freshman, he started the game. Was it the Western Carolina game?
And that was Bobby Petrino, Arkansas, too, wasn't it? Like, it wasn't like...
No, that was... Let's see, 2014 was still...
Bert.
Yeah.
Oh, right, it's Bert. Dadgummit. I'm just in the middle of 2010. Like, I've been watching 2010 highlights and replays and stuff to prepare for this podcast, because I'm a professional, and that's why I was convinced it's Petrino, Arkansas. Still, it was
Petrino, Arkansas ended in before 2012, because remember
John L. Smith, right?
Yeah,
that's right. We lost to John L. Smith.
We lost to the worst Arkansas team maybe ever.
That's rock bottom, guys.
It was rock bottom.
You want to talk about rock bottom for the program? The John L. Smith loss is rock bottom.
I used to be scared to go to Arkansas games because I had been to too many home Arkansas games that we lost, and so I stopped going. That was the last one I was really that afraid of going to, because after that I was like, well, what could happen that was worse? So I've been to several since then.
Yeah.
What a game.
So one of these days I'm going to release my 2812 podcast. I don't know what's going to happen. I had a couple episodes recorded too. I just never release it. It's going to be my forever mystery. Maybe I'll release it in 2022.
There you go.
The 10-year anniversary of 2012.
Sure.
2022, when we're finally having sports back.
2022, we're sitting here. Bo Nix has led us to back-to-back national championships. And he's about to be the number one pick in the draft. And we're talking about how great it is that Christian Pulisic is going to lead us to defend our World Cup on home soil in 2026.
So what other rumors do we have? I mean, they're staying on the Jeremy Johnson train. There's the summer of 2014 when Auburn's starting quarterback got arrested. And was suspended for part of the Arkansas game. You guys don't seem to really recall this, but I feel like there was legitimate talk about Jeremy Johnson's just going to take Nick Marshall's job.
Yeah, I don't think there was.
No.
I don't remember anybody saying that.
Maybe that was just the crowds you were running in at the time.
Maybe in whatever middle school you were in.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe the vibe on campus.
Come on.
So my favorite one of my favorite ones from the thread on Twitter was Will Collier's, the rumor in 2003 that the entire Alabama football team spent the entire summer conducting a secret practice at John Croyle's ranch, that's Bertie Croyle's dad. And the following season proved that to be highly unlikely, or at least very unproductive.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of what that ranch is. Do you know what it is, Crow?
No.
Oh, it's a big old boys ranch. It's a place for troubled teen boys that they go and let. John Croll does a lot of really great work. He's a really nice guy.
That 2003 football team had a lot of troubled teens.
Right.
Yes,
right. But they would have a place for those guys to practice out there. So it's not just a like dude ranch. It's like a think more of a camp type atmosphere.
The idea that the 2003 Bama team was junction boying itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All summer. Well, and then had the 2003 Alabama season.
It's funny that you say that because Junction Boys was out around that time on starring Tom Berenger.
That movie stunk, dude. That movie was literally just a hour and a half movie of things that would get you fired as a college football coach. Of like ways to endanger your kids. I like that rumor. Because I remember it actually was that the rumor that Alabama was just like, they're just training harder than us. And that was kind of like the deer antler spray rumor, was that the reason that they're beating us is because they're on steroids or some other like weird thing.
Oh man, I forgot about that one. That was
remember deer antler spray?
Wasn't Jay Collin going to get suspended for
deer antler spray? That's right.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know, was that 2012?
Yeah, something like that. Deer antler spray. Because Ray Lewis was on it too, apparently. It was beyond just college football. It was also into the NFL.
It was actually,
I feel like there was a tie with Jay Collin for some reason. Maybe he was just somebody that they knew was using it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here we go. AL.com. Auburn looking into supplements purchased from Fultondale Business. October of 2011.
Here's one. Jarrett Stidham has a tail. From Bryce Potter. I remember that one too.
I had never heard this one.
Jarrett Stidham broke his back.
But... Shallow Hal style tail.
It's so dumb that I'm not surprised you didn't hear about it.
Why is it that Jarrett Stidham was the subject of two of the weirdest, like that one and the Jarrett Stidham broke his back, like not just it was injured but had a broken back.
That was going into SEC media days, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then he showed up at media days, fine.
Could walk, not in a wheelchair. Yeah, broken back, like that is a pretty easily definable rumor. Like, did he break his back or not? Well, can he walk?
Like,
okay, well,
it's not like he's got a bad shoulder.
So where do we think most of those kinds of rumors start? Is it definitely Alabama fans, or is it just Auburn fans trying to have a little fun or whatever? Or just being Barners and being pessimistic about things?
Probably a combination of both.
Yeah.
Are there any message boards that are commonly visited by Auburn and Alabama fans? Is there like a mixture there?
AL.com?
Well, yeah, not anymore. Okay. They don't have comments anymore. Twitter?
Ryan, AL.com comments were like the worst thing in the history of the world.
There was
political discourse is, but 5 years ago.
There was a time when they were not. Ryan, there was a time when the internet was not a dark and depressing place. Back in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, the internet was fun.
Okay, here we go. I see a message post on TideFans.com. Does Jarrett Stidham have a tail on the message board? I keep hearing it's why he left Baylor. He was apparently getting harassed about it nonstop. Not like a full-on tail, but like a nub. Anyone else hearing this? I've seen it being talked about a lot last day or so.
Look, yeah, as far as starting a rumor goes, that's a pretty good one.
He left Baylor not because of the fact that the administration was a shambles and there was a sexual assault crisis happening on the campus, but instead because he was sick of being made fun about his tail. That's a great rumor. The Jarrett Stidham broke his back was one like that's almost like the Bo Nix has a kid rumor that happened where it was just obviously I think Alabama fans trying to come up with rumors to discredit or make Auburn fans not love their
that one's a little dirtier than Jarrett Stidham.
It's super dirty because it's not true and it's just slander.
Yeah.
Or libel. It's casual libel.
I don't even know if it's casual.
Not even casual. It's just a person said that Bo Nix was a deadbeat dad of some child in Alabama.
I feel like I remember the story to it was almost exactly the Drake's kid storyline.
Oh, where okay. It's like so it's copy and paste.
He's got a kid, buys some baby mama, and he's like, the family's paying her off and not letting her get public. There was a whole convoluted thing.
Well, it's because if you want to make up a story about Bo Nix having a kid, you can't just say, he's got a kid. Well, because so what? There's probably like 20 guys on the team that have a kid. You have to make it super nefarious. He's trying to hide the fact he has a kid, which why would he do that? Nobody cares. It's silly. Anyway.
Here's a rumor. Gus is going to give up play calling.
Oh. Every. It's been a rumor hundreds of times at this point. So we've got one listed. Russell Wilson is on campus. I'm pretty sure that actually happened.
I think he visited. He wasn't here to play. Well, ESPN's Joe Shad broke the news apparently that he was on campus.
Yeah, I think it happened because he was visiting here. We were an actual possibility, but he ended up at Wisconsin.
Does Auburn win 8 games with Russell Wilson in 2011?
Yeah.
I think so too.
I think they win 9 maybe.
Who knows? I think Auburn's.
So 2011 going to be Bama or LSU. Well, yeah, probably Bama or LSU.
I mean, Russell Wilson was really good.
Was LSU at home or really away?
Away because they were home 12.
Yeah, we weren't going to win that. So
the problem is you replace a bunch of receivers and offensive linemen in 2011.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why he didn't come. I mean,
and so. He went
to Wisconsin where they had an offensive line.
Yeah.
But
I don't remember 2011's offensive line being the problem, though. I distinctly remember it being the quarterback for some reason.
I mean, it was Trotter.
It was everything.
It was fine. It was just – we didn't have Cam Newton, so.
And Russell Wilson's not wasn't Cam in college. I mean, that, but you can make the case Russell Wilson had a better, has had a much better NFL career than Russell, than Cam. He's still on a team that he started with.
Cam's on
the
team.
He won a Super Bowl.
Cam's got an MVP.
Cam has an MVP. Cam has that 1 year that is still unbelievable.
Well,
that 1 year is unbelievable.
He also broke a bunch of records, Cam has. I don't think Russell Wilson's broken any records.
Right. I think he has.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So did we want him and not get him? Or what was the process there?
I think Chief's right. I think we wanted him and didn't get him.
Okay. Because we were also bringing in Kyle Frazier that year, so I didn't know if there was a...
No, we absolutely did want him.
Okay.
It was a thing that we tried to do, but I think he saw the same thing Cam would have seen, even if Cam wasn't projected as a number one pick, and that his whole offensive line was gone, and there were
all his receivers.
Yeah,
because question marks. T-Zack and Darvin Adams were gone, mm-hmm. and Quindarius Carr I think was gone too.
You get Emory Blake and Cody Burns back. But
you get Emory Blake and Trevante Stallworth.
Oh, that's right.
Gone in 10.
That's right. You're right.
You get Emory Blake and Trevante Stallworth. I think that was it.
Yeah. So the second leading receiver, the second leading wide receiver in 2010, would we say, or 2011 was Stallworth?
Trevante.
Yeah. I mean, so the top receivers you had, Emory Blake had an okay year, and then it was Ontario McCaleb, and then it was Lutzy. Your second leading receiver was your fourth leading receiver overall.
Hmm.
Oh, no, sorry. It was Trevon Reed, like 120 yards.
And a lot of that's out of the backfield, isn't it?
It's a ghost.
Let's see. 2011 receiving yards. Yeah, so Emory Blake, 613 yards. McCaleb, 345. Lutzy had 238. Okay, and then it is Stallworth with 214 yards. 13 catches, 214 yards. Your second best receiver.
That's a lot of catches for not a lot of yards.
13 catches?
Well, what I'm saying is 13 catches should net more than 200 yards.
I mean, this is averaging 16.5. That's okay.
Okay. No. That's true. All right.
What are the rumors
about Ryan? Yeah. Oh, I'm asking you.
Rumor about going into 2008, and I'm sure you guys know this a little bit more about this one than I do, where the story was that the team was behind a quarterback. And we had Cody Burns, you had Chris Tide, kind of duking it out in the spring camp and going into fall camp. But I guess it wasn't really sure which quarterback the team was behind. And everybody assumed it was Cody because he was the returning guy, kind of the fan favorite.
So is this one there was definitely a split, but I think it had less to do with the quarterback and more to do with the offense. There was definitely a specific coach that was dead set against what was going on with the offense.
Was it everyone not named Tony Franklin?
No. There was one coach in particular, and he poisoned the entire locker room. He poisoned players against other players, poisoned everybody against Tony Franklin, refused to do anything that was asked of him by Tony Franklin. It really is a major part of what ruined that team. So that's not just a rumor. That's what happened.
Guys, remember the rumor about when Chiz brought in, what was his name? To replace Malzahn.
Loeffler.
Yeah. The rumor that, like, oh my gosh, this dude's a quarterback whisperer. We're going to be set.
Well, he's personal friends with Tom Brady.
This guy knows Tom Brady. That was, like, literally on well, every
message board. The storyline, too, was we're going to go back to a between the tackles, running downhill football, traditional Auburn.
It was – there were a number of times people were talking about, I wonder if Tom Brady can come work out on campus and show the kids how to play. Meanwhile, I've spoken to people who came to recruiting camps that week, that year, and were like, oh, boy, this ain't going to work. And they knew for a fact this ain't going
to
work.
To be fair, he didn't have much to work with.
Well, you had Ontario McCaleb, who was incredible at Ontario McCaleb things. And then he was supposed to make him be the back in an I formation.
Well, so Mike Dyer should have still been on the team, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the thought was that you got another year with Dyer and McCaleb. You're bringing in this stud fullback from Illinois, Jay Prosh, and you can kind of run that I formation again. And Dyer didn't make it to the season and still didn't know who the quarterback was between Kyle Frazier and Barrett Trotter. And we had a chance in that Clemson game. That's what blows my mind.
And the LSU game.
Yeah.
2012 LSU should have been an Auburn win.
If not for that safety.
I have looked at that game a number of times in recording this stupid podcast no one's ever going to hear. And we should have won that game.
Oh, 2012 LSU?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
there are games.
It was a 12-10 game, wasn't it?
It makes no sense that we lost that game, and it makes no sense that we would have won it either. Looking back at the whole season.
We completely unraveled after that, though, is what happened. Like, completely unraveling.
So we lost that LSU game 12-10, and we took a safety, and then immediately gave up a touchdown on the, like, two plays later after the punt. And if we just don't give up that safety and let them score from the 1-inch line, then you don't lose that game.
One of my favorite rumors we have on here, team is behind a quarterback in 2008. And we find out later that it's Chris Todd, not Cody Burns. I mean, that was a rumor that was, you know, for me as an Auburn fan, Cody Burns was like...
He was the guy.
Well, it's difficult to describe to like the young Auburn fan now, but he was a recruiting monster. When he signed with Auburn, I remember seeing him as a recruit in the stadium on an official visit and being like, man, that's the future.
The top quarterback out of Arkansas. Right?
Yeah.
It's twice
top player out of Arkansas.
And he I remember being very excited for him. And then there was that Clemson game where he got in, and he was amazing for 2 seconds that he was in the game. We all thought, oh, my God, this is going to be it.
Well, and also, like, I think we put him in for Brandon Cox against, like, Mississippi State in a loss.
Yeah,
that season.
Yeah. He wasn't very good in that game, though. Like,
no.
After seeing him actually play after the Clemson game, I thought, oh, okay, because it was the Tony Franklin offense with Cody Burns. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I was on board then. After that, though, I was never – well, first of all, I was never the guy that was – calling for Brandon Cox to be taken out of the game so Cody Burns could come in. I never thought, oh, this kid's going to be way better than him.
I was, because I love the movie Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, I hated it. I hated the chanting Cody. I was pissed off for like half the games in 2008 because of – or, right, that 08?
2007.
Yeah.
2007. Because of all that. And then the more I saw of him, the more I was like, oh – this guy's not the guy.
So in the first three games of 2008, where Cody, you should have Cody Burns in the Tony Franklin offense, you get 4 for 9, 15 yards. against ULM.
Mm-hmm.
A game Auburn still wins 34-0. You get 0-for-3 with an interception against Southern Miss. Auburn wins 27-13. Auburn's still a top 10 team at this point.
Yeah.
And then there's the 3-2
game. Auburn in 2000, that's 07?
This is 08.
Yeah, Auburn in 08 may be the worst top 10 team in the history of the AP poll. So,
what happened in the 3-2 game that Cody Burns didn't play?
That's a great question.
Well, why would he?
Because it was 3-2. Nothing else was working.
We had the lead. Clearly, you don't remember Tuberville.
Yeah, I mean, not that he really showed anything the previous 2 weeks, but
we had the lead.
Didn't even record a stat,
right?
Had the lead, buddy. We had that 1-point lead, and that's all we needed.
So was it at this point was Chris Todd the full-on starter going into week one, or was it at the Mississippi State game?
No,
he was the quarterback.
Oh, I think he was the starter.
Okay. I think like Jeff Sessions lost 3-2 today as well, as a matter of fact.
Well, State Alabama may have lost 3-2 today.
Absolutely. We lived that game.
He was the starter. Those numbers you've got for Cody are the like mop up duty numbers.
Okay.
So it's not exactly like Chris Todd was tearing it up.
Right. In the ULM game, here's your other option if you don't go with Cody. Against ULM, 9 of 18, 70 yards, a touchdown and interception. 9 of 18 for 70 yards. Man, that's a bad shoulder, I guess.
Sort of sounds Southern a bit Miss, like some what I mentioned earlier may have been going on.
Southern Miss, 21 of 31 for 248 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. And then Mississippi State, 14 of 26, 154 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
Man, you don't understand like the palpable energy for him coming into the game.
Oh,
in Jordan Harris.
No, I think he understands it. He was there for Jeremy Johnson, backup.
Oh yeah,
Jeremy Johnson. He understands. Yeah. That's the same. It was the same energy.
In 2008, Auburn combined for 7 touchdowns through the air and 13 interceptions.
With an air raid offensive coordinator. But he dipped out after that Vanderbilt fiasco. So,
guys, that may be the worst game in Auburn history.
What? Vanderbilt?
The Vanderbilt fiasco.
Well, no. We did really well when we were running Mr. Tony Franklin's offense, and then we switched offenses at halftime.
Halftime, that's right.
And lost the damn game.
Dude.
And then fired him.
It's unbelievable.
Bunch of geniuses.
The Tony Franklin experiment was one of the weirdest, most poorly conceived experiments in Auburn history.
What's he up to these days?
I would say more poorly conceived and executed than the Scott Loeffler.
Oh, yeah.
Because at least Scott Loeffler got a full season.
It was the same sort of thing, though. Loeffler didn't get to bring anyone with him. He was just him.
And Franklin was handicapped by every other coach on the roster.
Scott Loeffler wasn't pictured with a big pile of books leaving his office.
That I still remember that day.
Me too.
That was one of the most intense days on the Auburn message boards ever.
Man, alive.
So here's Tony Franklin's resume, pretty much. Sounds like somebody coach might have hired. He was a high school coach from 1988 through 1996.
He was a different
high schools in Kentucky.
He, much like Gus Malzahn, was a legend amongst high school football coaches. because of his system. There a lot of high school football coaches ran the Tony Franklin offense. He had a like clinic kind of thing, like Gus wrote a book, all that stuff.
So in 1997 through 99, he was the Kentucky running back coach. In 2000, he was the Kentucky offensive coordinator.
We need to put that into context. That's under Hal Mumme.
Right.
And Mike Leach is there at that time. I believe one of the younger brother that's at Kentucky now was there then too.
Stoops.
Yeah, I think he was.
So he was the offensive coordinator in 2000. Okay. There's a gap in his resume. I don't know what he was doing in 2001 and 2, but he is the head coach for the Lexington Horsemen in 2003. It's an indoor team.
Oh.
Takes another 2-year sabbatical. Then he's the offensive coordinator for Troy for 2 years.
Right.
And then Auburn does the thing where they hire the offensive coordinator from Troy.
Well, they probably saw him at the Lexington Horsemen. We got this guy on the squad.
So, outside of 1 year as an offensive coordinator at an SEC school, not a whole lot on the resume besides what you're talking about. He was a high school legend. Since then, he 1 year's coordinator at MTSU, 3 years at Louisiana Tech, 2 years at Cal. Sorry, 3 years at Cal. And then he's been at MTSU again since 2016.
Probably about his level, I would assume.
One of these things is not like the other.
Well, I just never know how that would have gone if he hadn't have been brought in under the circumstances that he was.
Sure.
He is not Mike Leach. I'll put it that way.
Right. So how would things have been different if he doesn't get that Auburn job in 2008? But new head coach at Auburn in 2009, he's looking for an innovative offensive mind, strikes out on Gus Malzahn, and hires Tony Franklin.
I think it goes a little better because then he gets to choose other people that he brings in with him.
Right.
I don't think we're winning a national championship. I don't think Tony Franklin's offense is going to get Cam Newton to come here, more or less.
Right.
He ends up at Mississippi State. And probably for 2 years because I don't think they win the national championship. But
I think they do.
I don't because I think that's all a combination of both Cam and. And Gus Malzahn. I think one's career does not go the way it does without the other. I don't think. It's Mississippi State. We had better talent. Despite none of those guys being in the NFL at this point,
well, you had Nick Fairley.
Right. And a bunch of role players, more or less. Everything's different if that happens. For everybody.
Right.
We probably don't beat Alabama, but maybe we end up beating Alabama. Maybe we don't crater in 2011 and in 2012 either. So I don't know.
Well, guys, that's all of our rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I did hear a rumor that we some board of trustees members like took a plane to Kentucky during the middle of a game one time, night before a game.
The truth is stranger than fiction at Auburn, Alabama. Here's a rumor. I closed on a house today in Auburn, Alabama.
There you go.
Nice. Finally.
Huzzah.
Sent some documents in. Sold a house during the coronavirus.
That's an accomplishment.
That's an accomplishment, considering we're probably not going to have football this fall.
Did you turn a profit?
I did. Nice. Small one. Nice. But
you put a little money into it. So.
Yeah, a lot of labor.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was worth it. I would have liked it to have that house a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know.
But hey, at least there's no FOMO about the next couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sera, sera. Well, great talking to you.
Yeah.
As always. Hey, if you're listening to this still, we would love to hear your thoughts on favorite Auburn rumors we talked about, or what was your favorite memory leading up to the 2010 season? If you have any of those, like memories before 2010, that's the main thing we're looking for, as this is the 10-year anniversary of that wonderful time.
That's pretty much all we're going to talk about.
Well, why not? I was talking earlier today. It is a real bummer that we're probably going to... Well, I think it's almost certain we're going to be deprived of being in the stadium to celebrate, you know, the 10-year anniversary of that great season.
Sure.
And
2030 is going to be a party.
Really stinks. I mean, I guess, well, we could do a 15, you know.
2025. You know what we should do, guys? Nothing to do with 2010. Instead of the idea that I had earlier about what is the best week one game ever and rewatching it, we should just rewatch the 2019 Auburn-Alabama game.
Every week.
Every week, and come up with new favorite things about it. I think mine is going to always be the punter being on the field as a receiver. But you never know.
Has that game been given some sort of moniker because of that? I don't.
It needs to. It needs to be given a moniker.
I don't know about that play specifically, but you know, we can just call it the pick six.
Call the 12th man. Call it the 12th man. Shout out to A&M.
Wait, who is it that has the trademark on that? Is it A&M or Seattle?
I think Seattle has the trademark. Which I think A&M's allowed to use it.
Which is funny because A&M's probably used it way longer than Seattle.
I think A&M never
trademarked
fully trademarked it.
Sure, that would make sense.
There's something involved in that.
It's well, they've used it so long, like no one would have thought to trademark something like that.
Right, and there's been some. I think they've taken one another to court.
Meanwhile, you got Ohio State trademarking V. So
no, jeez.
Well, until next week.
Bonus.
You guys have a stay safe, wear a mask, don't get the virus. Adios.